There are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about a Christmas movie. I guess it's some sort of holiday film. We tried to figure out maybe to do some Nordic Christmas movies, but all our plans just went down the drain, and we ended up going with the Krampus, American film. Yeah. About
or the Krampus.
The Krampus?
Not the Krampus.
They always say Krampus in this movie.
Really? The Americans?
Yeah. No.
Krampus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're going to talk about that one. And hopefully that will fill all our hearts with some Christmas joy.
Yeah, it should do.
Don't you think?
Christmas spirit.
Should do. So before we go any further, let's open our beers.
Oh my God, yes.
And get into it. What are you having today, Sigve?
I am having...
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, I need to mix it up a little bit, don't I? Need to get something
else. You should,
I'll
maybe,
get something
because
else
it's starting to,
for the Christmas one, the next one.
It's starting to be a bit of a boring segment, this one.
I've
whenever you're always having the same beer.
Too predictable.
Yeah. But while you're doing that,
yes.
I'm going to introduce my beer.
There you go.
Because I tried to get with the season and get a Christmas beer for this occasion. And since I was drinking red wine last time, I decided to bring out the big guns here. It's a 75 centiliter Christmas beer from Saint-Feuillant. I think it's called Saint-Feuillant.
Is it French or?
I would think so. No, it's from Belgium.
Okay. Okay, there's hope for it. Okay, Belgium.
Yeah, and it's called the Cuvée de Noël. Yeah, I butchered all of those names probably, but I'm looking forward to it. It's a Christmas beer, 9%.
Okay.
And it has like a cork.
Yeah, so you're easing back from the red wine thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. This is going to be a Christmas party.
Yeah, it's very big, that beer. You're feeling guilty about the red wine, aren't you?
I'm overcompensating a little bit today. I have another similarly big one in the fridge. I was not quite sure if I should get this one or the other one, which was an anarchist beer. Yes.
I guess there's a connection there. I mean, yeah.
There could have been a connection, but I just didn't want the anarchist beer today.
Yeah.
But, you know, I should have gone with that one.
Okay. How is it tasting? Is it not good?
Yeah, there's just a lot of head on it.
Yeah. Such a great beer drinker that you are, Ronnie. You need to be a better beer
pourer. I don't think it's my fault all the time. I think it's also the beer.
Yeah, it must.
And the way the bottle is shaped and all that
could
kind
be.
Of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So how is it?
Anyway, it's all right. Tastes a little bit like alcohol.
All right.
Actually, it's like a 9% beer. It's fairly strong. I might not make it all the way through this beer.
Yeah, the look is not telling me it's very good, but it's okay.
It won't be my favorite Christmas beer. Not at all. Not by a long shot.
Okay. So, all right. Rune, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Mm. I've been up to Christmas stuff.
To no good.
Actually, trying to. Yeah, not up to no good, because I want those down Christmas presents.
I see.
Yeah. No. Like Christmas shopping, Christmas parties at Elin's work and at my work. Actually, just the other day, we went to my work where we met the Santa Claus. He came on a crane thing, wagon, at my work, apparently, because that's what they had there. But it was all good fun. Raskva was really happy, and I was happy, and Alien was happy. It's great. Christmassy. Yeah. So, like, a lot of Christmas stuff, Advent, cozy time, Hygge, as we say here. Yeah, a lot of Hygge going on. I really like this whole thing about lighting a candle each morning, like the Advent candles, mm-hmm. Counting the days for the 24th and all that, you know. It's just really cozy, hyggeligt. To wake up in the morning, and then Raskva just knows, yeah, we need to turn this light on, and she has to blow out the candle or like the match, and yeah, you know, all that.
Nice.
Like the tradition stuff.
Nice.
And today we're recording what, on the 10th of December? 10th. And tomorrow is the first time one of the Yule lads.
Yes, the Icelandic are coming. Yule lads. They start coming tomorrow. Well, the kids put their shoe out in the window. Tomorrow evening,
yes,
and it gets stuffed with because of the good stuff over the night
is,
and the is morning tomorrow of evening? The 12th,
yeah,
they get to check if they have gotten anything.
Okay, so when this episode is being released, that's the first day of the Yule lads.
Yeah, the Icelandic children are
who is
happy.
It this time?
The first one,
yeah.
Stekkastur.
Who's the first one? Stekkastur.
Yes.
Yeah. What's his famous trait?
Well, it means he has wooden legs. Stekkjastur. So he's, I don't know, it's his thing. He likes to drink sheep milk as well.
As you do. As you do.
Yes. They have been adapted a little bit to our times recently, these Yule lads, but this is like directly from the old... folk tales, you know, which is kind of connected to what we're going to talk about here today a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to finish up. I have basically just been doing Christmas stuff. And then we've been trying to watch the Advent calendar on TV, the Kvare Völundur, the Icelandic version. As I mentioned before, the Danish TV has like 9 different Advent calendars on right now. And I don't know where to start. So we decided to go for the Icelandic one.
I've been watching that as well.
Yeah. Do you enjoy it?
I actually
it?
Watched the first like 8 on Saturday.
Okay.
And it's very nice. I told you last time, I don't have any like nostalgia towards this. This is before my time as a kid. And
When was it released? Like in the 90s?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Late 90s.
Yeah. 97 or something. Yeah.
But there's no tradition for me. But I mean, Shep loves it. And Simla is watching it. And it's a pretty good. Nice messages. Really good. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah. It's a show all about... finding the real reason that you're celebrating Christmas, or
they focus on a single single word every day.
Yeah,
like today was, I think, honesty or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and there's always one guy being completely the opposite.
Yes.
So you really realize what the good values are.
Yeah. And it has Johan Sigurdsson as Völundur, and we love him.
Yeah. Well, from movies such as
Woman at War, for one.
Yeah, I haven't got.
But
to
that
see
guy,
that
I mean, that guy, Rune, you know that guy. Yeah. You've seen him.
I know him. But he has this mustache here, and I didn't really recognize him.
No, he was young. He was thin back then, but he's one of those guys. He has a way about him. You just love him. I just love him.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. I always think that one of those other guys in Kvare Völundur looks like the president of Iceland right now.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I was just like Felix and Gunnar.
Gunnar Felix,
Gunnar.
Felix,
I think. Yeah, the dark-haired one.
It's a stretch.
This is a stretch. Yeah. Maybe I haven't looked at the president enough yet.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm excited to watch that one. We haven't watched too many of them because it's on too late here. Rasqua is on her way to bed.
Yeah.
Because we're one, like the time difference, and then it starts like 7:15 sometimes later.
Yeah.
But it's good. Anything you've been up to other than...
Well, I've got my choppers, new choppers. Went back to Hungary for another week. And so that's good.
Now it's finally over. Yeah,
new choppers. Well, I came back with an awful stomach flu. It's still going on. I'm medicated right now.
As we speak, yes.
I haven't had time for the hygge you should be experiencing this time of year, unfortunately, because it's just, 2 weeks away from my work is difficult for me. It just piles up. The days I have been at work have been very busy. So hopefully I can relax a bit now.
Don't you put up Christmas stuff around your workplace?
There's a person that does that, but I don't.
Do you have a person for that?
Yeah, we have a person for that. She works on the phones and she does that.
All right.
It's not that kind
of... We always have this day where we get together, eat some... Hugely like Christmas stuff, and then we are making ornaments and like cutting out like nice Christmas stuff. I don't know what
that's the way to do it. I mean,
yeah,
that's how I would like it.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a mini Christmas thing on Wednesday when we release.
Okay,
and, so there's some Icelandic hongikjöt then. It's going to be nice at work.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I came home from Hungary, they had like put everything up here, ornaments.
Yeah.
Okay. And my father-in-law had gone and they bought lights to put outside the house. So okay. It's very nice. Yeah.
Do you have the whole like Christmas vacation scenario going
not
on?
Not really, no? But it's very cool. My wife had been on me about buying that, and I was like, yeah, sure, but never get around to it. So they just used the fact that I was away to just go and do it. She's on me now about putting the Christmas tree up. See, I'm against that. Not the tree.
Christmas tree?
No. I would like to put up the
true
Christmas tree like maybe 2 days before Christmas.
Because
we have to, we leave it up until like 6th of January when all the Yule lads have gone back to the mountains.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time to have the Christmas tree up. And I don't want to have it up all December. Many people do that now. I don't get that.
I like it.
Yeah.
It we put it up the first Sunday of Advent.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it was just such a nice thing, like getting all the Christmas stuff out and making a whole thing about it with Rescua, and we were like, doing all those things and setting it up, and now it's just really nice, and Rescua is always looking at it. Going over and putting something on it and taking it off, saying this one shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she puts it some other place. It's just nice. And it's bringing some hygge. We like hygge here in Denmark.
I'm sure it's very nice. And
it's also very small, though. I mean, we don't have a huge Christmas tree.
Right.
It's probably 1 meter tall.
Okay. Ours is pretty tall and kind of steals the room.
Again,
but
Christmas, yeah.
But I'm holding on strong still. I mean, mm-hmm. my mother-in-law has put hers up, and there's pressure. There's pressure from everyone.
Oh my God.
I'm sticking to my guns.
The Christmas stress.
I might consider it like in the last week before the 24th at some point, but ideally it would be like the 23rd. Then it's just like a family moment to put it up together and then...
Yeah.
Just before and yeah, I don't know.
I actually think that's something Aliens Family is also doing. Mm-hmm. The 23rd or maybe even the 24th in the morning. It's like putting up the tree and everything.
Yeah.
I get that, but it's just a little bit sad because it's only one day and then you could basically take it down again. Like in my opinion, or like a couple of days maybe. And then it's like, yeah, Christmas over. Now we're going on to New Year's. It should be down at New Year's.
Yeah, but like I said, it goes on until the 6th of January here, basically. Nobody takes it down. So it's going to stay.
Why do
up
they leave the 6th
anyways.
Of January? Yeah. Why do they leave so late?
I mean, there are 13 of them. And then you just, they come one at a time and they leave one at a time. After Christmas, that's it.
Of course, but isn't it something like the 6th of January? The kings in Catholicism.
it's all a big mess, man. Don't go poking
something
around
like
there. It's just
no.
It's a mess. It's,
I think the three kings are leaving the 6th of January or something like that. I remember some Catholic people celebrating that day. Maybe there's a correlation.
I don't know.
The Yule lads and the kings who visited Jesus.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I have a connection
to
make.
It's all Christmas here. Yeah.
I have a connection to make because we're talking about Kvarvölundr. What do you call it? Advent calendar?
Advent calendar? Yeah. I think so.
This is a very big
TV show.
Thing in Denmark, advent calendars. That's why we have
it's a
here.
Yeah, started doing it there. Yeah. It's a huge thing.
We actually saw, we went to the theater, me and Shepnan Simulid, yesterday to see a play called Kvarir Augasteinn, which is played by Felix Bergson, who plays, well, Felix.
Okay.
Felix.
Yeah.
And it's he made it himself and he stars in it himself and it's great. It's great. Okay. Similar is very
it
afraid. It's about the Yule lads and they just make a little adventure about a little boy. Like,
For kids?
It's for kids, but I wouldn't say it's for 2-year-olds. Similar is very scared there for a while.
Man.
But I mean, it was a good experience. It's his second play. He's not 3. Mm-hmm. So,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
How long did it run for?
It was like, I don't know, 35 minutes, something like 40 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've been always very, very amazed with Raskva because there's also at this Christmas party at my work, we also have some like theater going on. There's always 2 people coming and doing a theater for like half an hour. And last year Raskva was just so absorbed in this play, and I mean at that point she never sat down and looked at something, but once it was this play about some, you know, Nissa, like elves, she was just totally in it. And this year as well. But she also got a little bit scared because there was one little maybe scary thing, but it's like a thief came out on stage and stole an elf's hat. But she was all dressed in black, and everybody, all the kids, were just screaming in there, and Raskva was shaking and crawling to me and was just like trying to hug me and crawl up on me because she was so afraid. But she was enjoying it. After that fact.
After, okay.
It took a little while of calming her down after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Also.
But it's surprising, you know, what scares people or at that age.
In this play, there's also a Icelandic creature called Yola Kötterin, or the Christmas cat.
Yes, you yes. mentioned that before we started recording.
You see, this kind of relates to today's topic a little bit, because we're yeah. dealing with Krampus, which is I don't know, central
anti-Santa Claus.
Anti-Santa Claus, anti-Christ, yeah. basically.
You could say that.
But it's it has hoofs, and it's like a goat of some sort. And it's this weird thing.
Satanic.
Yeah. In Iceland, there's this creature called the Christmas cat, Jóla Kötturinn. But you see, he's not... He takes children, like Krampus, but
okay.
you know, he only
plays with them.
He only does so if they don't get a new piece of clothing before Christmas. That's his okay. thing. Everybody needs to have something new, clothing wise.
Okay.
How weird is that?
Or else.
Or else. Yeah. Or else you're going to get eaten
by a cat. Yeah.
Big, huge cat.
Yeah. Is it big?
Yeah, it's a huge thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So are you honoring this tradition and putting, setting in a fear in Somali right now?
No, I haven't started trying to scare him yet, but I'm sure I'll get around to it, you know?
Yeah. Be happy. Cherish this piece of clothing because you're not getting eaten by the big cat.
Yeah. He was a little bit scared when the cat appeared in the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Or was it Grilla? Grilla, the mother of the Yule lads. She's a terrifying thing. She's a troll.
Yeah.
She's not good. She's not a good person. She eats kids.
Is she maybe a little bit more like Krampus, actually?
It's a nice mixture to make Krampus, Grilla, and the Christmas cat.
Yeah. Huh. It's an odd thing, right? Like how much evil is going on during Christmas to counterbalance all the good, apparently.
If you think about it, people believed in this. This is, for this to be such a strong... folk tale tradition, there must have been many people who believed in this thing.
Yeah, you know, in Denmark we had all these elves basically, but we call them Nissa in Denmark, and they used to be really evil, like really doing evil things to farmers and all that. Like all farms had a Nisse that was playing tricks on them, but back in the day it was just like people were dying, like they were killing people, stuff like that. But then it turned into Nissa are just playful and are teasing you, doing like fun little things.
Yeah.
And now that whole version of it is just nowhere to be seen.
Like rabble-rousing things, just, you know.
I mean, now the only thing we talk about is Drellenissa, maybe, which means teasing elves. Basically, and it would be you come into your living room in the morning and somebody had moved the chair or something, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the Yule lads. I mean, they are like up to no good back in the day.
Mischievous.
There's one that just is a peeping Tom. He just peeks on windows. That's what he does.
Yes.
Yeah. Another one who's licking the plates.
Yes, which is disgusting.
Yes.
And that's stuff you get the stomach flu from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Another one there's another one who just slams doors.
Yeah, that is creepy.
There's a guy who steals meat. I mean, they were just...
And eats candles.
No, steals them.
I know that one.
Steals them.
Oh, steals them, not eats them.
Just he doesn't eat them. He just, no one wants to steal them. So they were not nice. But nowadays, they're just... giving kids presents in their shoe.
Yeah.
13 gifts.
What has the world come to?
It's terrible.
You know, it is terrible. So on that note, should we start talking about this movie called Krampus?
Let's.
We heard something on the roof.
The hell is this?
St. Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk?
Or a goat? What kind of goat walks on its hind legs?
His name is Krampus. He and his helpers did not come to give, but to take.
Everybody, hold on to each other.
He is the shadow of St. Nicholas.
That was a clip from Krampus, our holiday film for the episode, 2015 film from director Michael Dougherty. Interestingly, he is, this is his second film, I think, and he is next to directing, guess what, did you check?
I actually wanted to, yeah, but I didn't get around to it.
It's Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
The second one?
2019.
Okay.
Okay. That wasn't a good that wasn't a good introduction about Krampus, was it?
No, I don't know. Not really.
Okay. Krampus is a figure from Central European folklore. It's not a good, you know, it's a monster. And it's,
it is,
yeah, it's kind of, well, like we said, anti-Santa or maybe just anti-Christ, really. So in this film, it comes to wreak havoc on a family in somewhere in America.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
How's that? Yeah.
Okay. That is true. And but the reason why Krampus comes there is because the family is half German.
Well, they make sure there's a connection to the European.
Central European.
Yeah. She's probably Austrian.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
You know, I'm just going to jump in here and say I didn't know anything about Krampus before I got an Austrian coworker.
Okay.
Who talked about Krampus during Christmas and said that she was so extremely afraid of this Krampus person when she was a kid. Because in Austria, they really do... Well, they don't worship Krampus, but they make a deal out of it and putting a fear into their kids. And she, to this day, is still just feeling a bit uneasy about the whole Krampus thing.
Yeah, it's a festive thing. They dress up and
yes, they run after each other. They have the Krampus run.
Yeah,
and she was also talking about that, like during this time, people were just always scaring kids, like no matter where they were. I mean, they would just dress up and scare them when they were walking on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So like you were never safe.
Okay.
You know, so that seemed just a little bit, you know, intriguing to me.
So that's why you came up with this one.
Did I come up with it?
Putting it squarely at your feet.
Well, it was because I tried to find some Norwegian and Swedish films here, but then I thought
it's my
why
fault.
Not do this one, because it's a little bit, you know, it's different. It reminds me a little bit of Rare Exports, mm-hmm, the Finnish movie where you also get the evil Santa Claus with the claws.
We should have just done that. We haven't done that.
We did that.
Didn't we?
Well, we watched it, both of us. You know, we've seen it.
But we had fun, I mean, watching that, didn't we?
Yeah, well, but, you know, I had fun watching Krampus, actually.
Okay, we're in for an interesting discussion then.
Yes.
Shall we describe this creature?
It's please do.
It's goat-like. And it has
with chains.
Hooves. Yeah, it's black. It has chains. And I think what they say that's probably a Christian thing, like the binding of the devil. It's certainly a devil thing. This thing, it's not just the anti-Santa. It's definitely the devil. And it's and it eats children and
apparently also grown-ups.
Just,
you know, it eats everyone.
It eats everyone
who has lost faith in the Christmas spirit. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like in Kvareverlander, they just prepare for not being eaten by Krampus. Mm. Maybe.
But the film stars my favorite.
It has a good cast.
Oh my God, Adam Scott. He's one of those guys you just love. No matter what he does. I'm just going to love him forever for his role in Parks.
Okay. Yeah, it's the Parks thing. I like him. I enjoy seeing him. I think, like in this movie, he doesn't do much, you know, but he's a good straight man, you know, like the straight guy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
We also have Toni Collette as his wife.
Preparing for her role in Hereditary, maybe.
Yes.
A little bit.
And we have David Kutcher?
Kutcher? Maybe.
If you people saw this guy, you would know who he is. He's been in a lot.
He's one of those, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that guy.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that guy. Apparently, he's doing a lot of voice acting, and he was in the latest season of Twin Peaks.
He's always good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Very solid.
But he's just that guy.
We have another one of those, that guy, in Conchata Ferrell. His mother, I think.
Mother-in-law.
His mother. Or is it his mother-in-law?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's... Toni Collette's mother-in-law. Aunt. It was Toni Collette's aunt.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Yeah, so no. So there, yeah.
She's been in a lot. Really. She's always good as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Alison Tolman.
Yes.
Known from Fargo.
Yes.
The TV series. Where she did an amazing job.
She's great.
But it's interesting with this movie because I thought I was in for, something that tried to be a horror film. But then looking at the cast, except for Toni Collette, all of them are kind of comedic actors and actresses. Yeah. And it just made it, the movie was definitely a comedy, first and foremost.
I can. For a while there was, it was actually good when it was a comedy. It was fun.
It never stopped being a comedy, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Okay, first I'm going to situate this a little bit because, you know, Blockbuster is. I thought Blockbuster had turned its key and just like it's not existing anymore, but apparently it's a streaming service.
It's also a place somewhere in the US. There's a single place
called Blockbuster. Yep. Yeah. Okay. But here in the Nordic countries, we have Blockbuster and you can rent movies. So I decided to rent Krampus there. And already there, I felt like I had gone to the movie rental store, picked up this seemingly not great movie and wanted to watch it, you know, and I was going to sit down, I was going to have a good time. And I got that feeling, like the old feeling of picking up a movie from the movie store.
That is a great feeling.
That is a great feeling. And it made me probably appreciate this movie a little bit more than I probably should have. So, that being said, I really enjoyed the beginning of this movie where you had this holiday spirit. It to me, it seemed very much like something like the beginning of Home Alone, where you get the Christmas spirit, you get that they're like preparing for Christmas, but something is wrong. There's like the family is dysfunctional in so many ways. There's disputes and all that, and I liked how they portrayed that, and it was awkward. It was holiday-ish also. And I liked it. And I thought they did a fine job introducing the whole cast, really. And also the setup for why this whole thing started, the Krampus thing. So,
wow,
very much like a holiday spirit there in the beginning.
Good mood. You were in a good mood while watching that. God damn it, Rune. I disagree.
Do you disagree?
Yes. I mean, I'm reminded.
I'm going to add one more thing.
All right.
Like one thing you usually get, well, don't get in American films is foreign language. And I was really surprised that the grandmother here was German. She was speaking German. And the other characters just understood what she was saying because they have been growing up in a bilingual family. And I really enjoyed that. I loved that the grandmother was talking to the kid and the kid was answering back in English. No, I thought it was great.
Okay. I mean,
I really enjoyed that fact.
It's just a connection to the origins of the creature, though.
Well, it is a connection to that, but still, I give it more kudos, more credit,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't make her speak with a German accent all the way through. Like, she actually came from Germany.
Or Austria.
Probably yes.
Austria.
But she was speaking what I would define as German.
Yes, but the Austrians
at least I understood
speak German.
What she was saying.
Yeah?
Yes, I know. But a dialect.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, different dialect, but still same, but different.
We're going to have to Google this and check it, of course.
Yeah. Yes, we would.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes. So I did enjoy the first scene, Rune. I'll give you that. I mean,
The slow motion scene
I thought was nice. I thought it reminded me of something I heard on Stuff You Should Know the other day about Black Friday.
Black Friday?
Yeah, did you hear that?
I don't remember, actually, but...
People fighting Black Friday in the stores is crazy. And all that.
Yes.
It's real.
Did you notice Melissa McCarthy?
I thought that was her. Was it her?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. I don't know if it was her, but that's my first note.
I thought I saw Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy in this movie.
2015. She's a big star by then.
Yeah. So it's like something that they just put in there. It probably not, but you noticed it too.
Yeah.
So
probably not though.
I had to rewind the movie when I was done with it and just rewatch it. Was it her?
Did you rewind it? Did you put a rewind and wait for a couple of minutes?
Okay. I jumped back to the beginning.
All right.
You know, I'm doing the whole like renting a movie analogy here.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. I thought you liked the reason for the Krampus arriving. I thought that was really, really weak. I'm sorry.
It was weak. It
really,
was
really, really weak.
Yes.
And it just means to an end. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay. I have no real problem.
But you saw all the dysfunctional. You saw the old dysfunctional stuff in the family.
I did.
You know.
I have no real problem with this film being what it is. But I just don't think it's really that good.
Really?
I wanted to ask you something, though. What about the... There's a really serious animated section there, really serious and dark, and which kind of goes against the whole comedy thing. Basically, it's not a comedy. It's not a comedy. No.
But it is.
No. There's like comedic features occasionally. I mean, did you laugh out loud at any point there? Did you laugh? I mean,
I was smiling.
I was smiling a lot. Once, and that's when the gingerbread man came and attacked Mr. Randy Quaid there. By the way, I thought they had let's just hire the Griswold family and do this, because if they had actually, I wrote down, they should just have made it a comedy. Because then it would have been real fun. Just hire Randy Quaid, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and just, you know, do it like that.
You know, I went so much the other way. I thought it was such a missed opportunity to making a real horror film about this, because the setup, not the setup, but like the atmosphere was there. Like, they have all the characters. They had the means to do this, make it into a really good horror film, but they didn't trust it, and therefore they just went in there and started making jokes about all of it. You know, in all the scenes, also when it starts to being a horror film, you have like comedic punchlines. You know, okay, so let's just set this up. Is his name Max? Or am I... Well, the kid in the family. Yeah, Max. Yeah,
probably,
His name was Max. And he has lost hope in Christmas and tears up his wishing list and throws it out the window. And that makes Krampus appear, you know, and freezes over the whole neighborhood. So when the dad, Adam Scott, and his brother-in-law goes out in the Jeep, they're making all these jokes about his brother-in-law being a Republican, being pro-guns all the time. And then when they're out there in the middle of the cold, and it's kind of like, it could be a scary moment, you know?
Mm.
And then Adam Scott has this line about, hey, you brought your guns for a Christmas party? What's up with that? You know, like, those one-liners were there all the time throughout the whole.
That's not funny, though.
Yeah, it is kind of funny, but it's, I mean, it wasn't something I was laughing at, but it was like meant as a joke. Yeah. Like the delivery was. So, yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
No, well,
you didn't see it as a joke?
Maybe it was meant as a joke. I don't know. I didn't take it as a joke. I thought it was just a little bit silly, maybe, but.
So, yeah, so therefore a joke.
Okay. Nope. Okay, I guess. I mean,
but, you know, also the first time we get acquainted with Krampus, it could have been a really effectful scene. But it was let down by, first, the music, which was over the top all the time.
You mean when they take his sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The music was just so always giving away what we were going to watch here. Like, in the beginning, it was so Christmassy, and as soon as he throws his letter out the window, then it becomes dark and grim and kind of like Tim Burton-esque, like Danny Elfman-esque. Like, it had some of those notes a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, the girl there being chased by Krampus just didn't convey the feelings that was needed to feel the fear, you know. But they could have done a really good job there, because the effects were good. The I think actually the cinematography was good as well, but I think the music and the acting of the people being chased was letting it down.
In that particular scene, you mean?
In that particular scene. Mm. And a little bit, like, you know.
I like the ominous snowman, Rune.
Yes, yeah, and I wrote down Harry Hole right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing I liked, just to keep on like talking about the things I liked about it, was that it knew that it was making fun of the genre. They were trying to make a horror film, but they were always like commenting on it. For instance, when they were like they ran out of electricity, or the electricity was cut, and they were watching movies on their tablets or something. And at that moment, I was just thinking, I mean, why watch movies? It's going to drain the battery and you won't have any battery left. And then Toni Collette, right after that moment when I was thinking it, was saying, hey, what about the batteries? You know? And there was another one where she was going out to save some people, or like look for her friends. Her husband. And she was saying, I'll be right back. Or like, I'll be back in a second, which is this huge horror trope. Mm. But right there, the people returned and she didn't go anywhere, but they had that line still. So I felt like they were always poking fun of it.
Wow.
Also,
you're giving them a lot of credit.
Yeah, I maybe. And also, when the grandmother started speaking English all of a sudden, I actually wasn't complaining too much about it, because they made you focus on that she actually started speaking English by having, what was her name? Conchata Farrell. Said something like, oh, I knew she could speak English. You know, so whenever they did those things, like change something, that that they really shouldn't do, then they just pointed at it and said, yeah, we know we did this.
Okay.
I actually applaud them for that.
All right.
You know, it would be better if they just kept it straight, but that was not this film.
Yeah, you sound like they had a plan, but they didn't. But I'm sorry, they didn't. It was just not good. It was just, I'm going to talk now.
Okay,
enough out of you for a while. I mean, the drama is overshot. It's not funny at all. It's not horrible. Maybe I'm being too... because you're so positive, maybe I'm being too negative. But really, man, come on. It's not good. It's not good at all. I mean, the Anonymous Army, for one. Jesus. Did you see the little elves there?
Yes.
Didn't you think that was a bit...
You know, towards the end, that was kind of... No. But it was not horrible either.
I'll tell you what I liked about it. I liked the... I liked the animation, like you said. It was like a little bit Tim Burton-esque, but it was too dramatic, and it seemed to me that they had no idea what they were going for. They didn't make a comedy. They didn't make a horror film. They didn't make a drama. No. Just made a whole mess of crap that you just left with nothing. It's just, Disguised as a holiday film.
Yeah. And I actually got into the spirit of holidays a little bit.
Glad you did, though.
Because of it.
I think it must be the blockbuster thing.
Maybe a little bit.
Or but it could be that I have a stomach bug and I'm not... Just right now.
But you know, I might sound really, really positive about this film, but there's a lot of stuff that could be better, obviously. But I think for what it was, I was surprised. I was engaged. I was thinking, what is going to happen with this Krampus guy? What are they going to do? Yeah, I was excited about that fact, actually. And there's one thing I kind of forgot it right now. Yeah, no, but also it kept me a little bit on my toes when they had that segment in the middle of the film when the grandmother is talking about the origin of Krampus, and they go into that animation style as you talked about.
Mm.
And that was just completely surprising to me.
It was surprising, yeah.
It was surprisingly well made, even though you could see that they didn't have time to do like full animation for all the characters. Mm. It was only the main character that was actually fully animated. Okay. and all the others were shadows.
Mm-hmm.
But it still worked. They made it work, and I was surprised, as well as all the other like effects. It worked pretty well, especially with the Krampus person in the backgrounds in the beginning. And you know, a lot of the effects, it didn't take me out of the film having bad effects. Unfortunately, it just like turned into this really, really silly thing.
We disagree on how silly. I think.
Yeah. I have noted down here, just lay off the whole gingerbread men. Like, don't do gingerbread men. It's silly. And it like, to me, it just seemed so much like they were doing this comedy horror thing. And it was supposed to be funny, horrible, you know, having gingerbread men be really, really evil. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's why I was like, ugh, this, don't do that. But then again, they it seemed like they were just pulling on all these classic horror films as well, you know, with Chucky, for instance.
Yes,
there was
definitely
a lot of Chucky stuff going on here. They have this fight scene in the attic, which reminded me of Toy Story, where you have this scene with all the decrepit kind of like mistreated toys attacking some other toys. It was like these toy things that were attacking them, and like there was some homage to those. I think
they borrowed the whole visiting family from the Christmas Vacation, basically.
Also that, yeah.
Characters, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. There was some Tremor. Have you ever watched Tremor?
I have, but a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But
there's some of that just going on. So there's a lot of homages to all these great films, which, like, it doesn't make this film great, but it made it seem to me that they knew what they were doing, but it didn't pay off the way they wanted.
Yeah,
it
I
to
think
pay
the,
off.
The writing is the problem, as most times when you have talented people doing good things. I mean, the acting is very good. The actors are very good. The professionals, all of them, kids even, all very good. They just didn't know what they were doing. Lack of direction. I'm not talking about the director specifically, but a lack of direction where they were going with this thing. Like you said about the gingerbread man, that was actually the one thing I liked.
Yeah.
Yes, it was actually fun. And I was like, yeah, this is a bit funny. I was smiling and even chuckling, you know? Yeah. Okay, let's do this. But I thought, wouldn't it have been a great idea to put the Griswold family in there and just make a little comedy horror thing and actually have some Christmas spirit, because they were very much lacking in Christmas spirit. I thought, even though you got into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, I did.
So this is one of those films where we actually disagree entirely. No,
yeah. You know, like the I guess so. What I liked about this, like talking about the Christmas spirit, was that it was so much focused on the anti-Christmas spirit and why you need the Christmas spirit in this time, you know? And it actually made me realize why you might focus on all those bad things in order to get into the Christmas spirit. Because it framed it pretty nicely. I'm not very good at explaining things at this moment, but it might be the beer talking.
You
it
have
might
a
also
better
be
vocabulary
that
than
bit...
Donald Trump, so don't worry. Just
okay,
use your
that's
words.
Good. That's good. I'm trying to use my words here. Let's see. By having this horrible counter situation to Christmas,
okay.
it made you really cherish what you like at the end. I guess we can spoil this movie a little bit. At the end, Max is really happy to see his family because he actually appreciates them for what they are, and that is something horrible like Krampus can do to you.
Yeah,
it can
before the very end. Before the very end, I thought to myself, "Oh, it was a Bobby Ewing thing." Yeah, he was in the shower all along.
Yeah,
you didn't watch Dallas?
No,
no, okay. That's for our older listeners out there.
Well, I my grandmother watched Dallas. Yeah. So I guess
me
that,
and your grandmother.
Yes,
I mean I remember.
Was that RJ?
JR.
Was that in
JR
Dallas?
Ewing.
JR. Yeah. Oh,
see, they wrote Bobby Ewing out of the show, and the ratings dropped, and they went to full season. This is like 45-minute episodes, I think, 45, 50-minute episodes.
Now the Dallas trivia comes up.
Yes, and I think they wrote a whole season. I forget if it was like 24 or 13, it was probably 24 or more. This is very, very, this is the era of the big TV dramas. So the ratings dropped. They decided to bring him back, Patrick Duffy as Bobby Ewing. So they bring him back. They disregard the whole season. They drop 7 characters.
Yeah.
They bring other characters back that have been dropped along with Bobby. And it's just, and it was all a dream. It was all a dream by Pamela Ewing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a really good reference.
Well, that's what came to my mind when I saw that towards the end there. But I'm just clutching at straws here, just trying to have fun with it, you know.
Yeah, but was it a dream?
Well, let's not go into that. Let's not spoil it completely.
No,
I mean, I guess people should go and watch this. This is something different for you. Something different than the.
It is different, and that's what we're trying to do here on this show. You know, you should pay attention to the whole origin of the story being German or a Central European. Mm. So there's something there, even though this is an American movie through and through.
Very American, yes.
Yeah. It actually reminded me a little bit of Slither. Slither?
That.
It's with, name escapes me. But the guy from Firefly,
the guy. Oh my God, he was in Big Mouth as well, playing himself.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, God damn it.
Google.
I need to Google this because I need to mention his name. Nathan.
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion. I didn't Google.
I Googled, but I didn't get anything. Okay. You said Nathan. I said Fillion.
Okay.
I'll take the credit, though.
Okay. Yes. Thanks. but I love that guy. And he's in Slither, which is this horror comedy thing. And it was actually, it was actually scary sometimes, and it was also really funny. And it has him in the center of it as this policeman. And it's kind of a riff on the Body Snatchers, like Return of the Body Snatchers or whatever it's called.
All right.
But with snails that are slithering, you know? I would advise you to watch that one. It's directed by James Gunn, who directed The Guardians of the Galaxy,
and first and second. Wasn't he fired?
I was fired from it from due to a tweet or something. Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing what tweeting can do. But try
and see if you can find Melissa McCarthy there.
McCarthy? Where?
Melissa McCarthy. Try and see if you can find
when you're watching. Yeah. When you're watching, yeah. I'm sure you can.
Did you finish that whole big beer, Rune?
No. It's... there's still some stuff left, but I can feel it.
Yeah, I can see it.
I was tired in the beginning, and now I'm just getting even more tired and keep on drinking this beer. I'm really sorry about it, but I mean, it's the Christmas spirit coming to me.
Yeah, I think we're about done here. It's 2 stars for me for effort and very good acting.
Yeah. For me, it's 3 stars because I was actually enjoying it, but it could be the rental situation
or the Christmas tree being up.
Maybe also the Christmas tree is right next to our TV.
A lot of hygge going on.
A lot of hygge. A lot of now we're going to watch a movie. It's about the holidays and
cool.
And I like watching Toni Collette, even though, I mean, if anyone was miscast, even though she did a good job, it was probably her.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see Adam Scott and Toni Collette being a couple, first and foremost, you know.
And, yeah, my wife said that as well. She thought Toni Collette was much older than Adam Scott.
Yes.
She's 1 year older.
Really? Yeah.
She was very young when she did Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah, she just has such a legacy in the film medium.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess
she's great. Even though I didn't like her in Hereditary, but
you didn't like her there.
She's great, nevertheless.
Yeah, but it really seems like a precursor for Hereditary. I'm sure the people in Hereditary had watched her in this one. Like, we can do better.
Yeah,
we can use that energy for something different.
Yeah,
than this comedy horror stuff.
Yeah, let's make it a spiritual thing. Yes. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was our pre-Christmas episode.
We hope that you will have a great lead up to Christmas.
Yes.
Try to get comfortable. Hygge yourself.
Yes.
Drink some beer, some nog maybe. Look at the lights.
Have you ever had eggnog?
I don't think I have ever had eggnog.
I had eggnog when I visited the States. The other
Boston.
Day. Because I needed to try out eggnog.
Okay, how was it?
You always have that. It was fine. It was pretty good. It was... I don't know if I can describe it really. It was sweet, like a lot of stuff in America.
It was sweet, okay.
But I liked it. Eggy and sweet. Mm-hmm. But I just bought it from Target, though.
Yeah, okay.
So it might not be the good
real stuff. No.
Yeah, but I had to try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we thinking for next time? We're going to record in the same room, at least.
We are.
I'm going to watch the movie together, so...
Yes. So whatever is going to be in the cinemas around that time. I was kind of excited about the sequel to Terkel i Knibe, Terkel in Trouble, the Danish film. I don't know if you've watched it. I think Shep has it on DVD.
Yeah, we have it here. I've seen it, but not... I've seen the cover.
So the spiritual sequel to that one is being released the 25th of December.
Okay.
Actually,
I don't know if that's the holiday here, film.
No, probably not. No. But I'm kind of excited about that one. I'm also a little bit interested in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or something, multiverse. But mainly due to the animation style. I think the animation style is pretty interesting because they're going for this 3D animated stop motion kind of stuff. And it looks like nothing I've seen before.
I'll go to that with you.
Yeah, so maybe that. But
only because I will go under protest, though. Only because of the animation thing. Did you see they're like advertising now Aquaman?
I've seen it. It's all over the place.
What the fuck is going on? I mean, people just gotta go and see this?
It seems like some of my friends on Facebook are also kind of excited about Aquaman.
Are you kidding?
Aquaman.
Aquaman. I just don't get it.
No, I'm not planning on watching that one.
No.
Not at all.
Okay.
There was another one. Georgios Lanthimos is actually current with another film called The Favorite, I think.
He's very prolific, and, that guy.
Yes, and you know who is in this movie again?
Is it the Irish guy again?
No, Olivia Colman.
Sophie!
Yes, top billing even. So I am going to watch this film.
I might just go see
I'm
that.
Going to catch up with Killing of a Sacred Deer as well. Just for the record.
All right. I haven't seen that either, so maybe, yeah. What about, I mean, since you're in Iceland, Runa, you have a chance to see A Woman at War.
Yes, and if that is possible,
you might just
then
do that.
I'm going to watch that one. Yeah. Yes, there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I will do that one.
It might be even be on TV here around Christmas.
Wow.
I don't know, though.
Yeah, it's still just being released in Denmark in May Jesus next year. So yeah, if we can get Woman at War, that would be great. Also, now Jodie Foster is going to make the American remake.
Yeah, they don't learn, the Americans, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't learn. And isn't it a bit sad that they have announced a remake of it in Hollywood before it's even screened in Denmark?
Yes.
How sad is that?
It is. It is. I mean, we should get Icelandic films a little bit earlier here.
I think so, too.
Somebody should start to lobby for that.
The Queen's old subjects should have some kind of a preference there in the movies.
But as I told you, probably in the last Christmas show, the Queen is not even mentioning Iceland in her New Year's speech.
You think she's just...
She's a little bit sad, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe she's insulted that we decided to go.
Insulted.
Alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you can just sail in your own little lake, as you say. Yes.
Okay. I think we're done here.
I think so, too.
Just, you know where to find us. And you know where to give us a review if you feel like it. It would help.
Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, or like follow us on SoundCloud or subscribe in any podcast aggregator.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yes.
All right.
I
think we need to go now. I can't trust you.
No. Find us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Okay.
The Conversation and Nordic Film Podcast.
Okay, guys. Until next time. And Spotify. Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Follow us on Spotify. That's a great way to follow us. It's great to see that people are actually following us in there. We have quite a few now.
Okay.
So keep them coming.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, until next time, it's goodbye
from
us.
See you, and have a very Merry Christmas.